starburst of incandescent blue light expands and dissipates against a black background, then letters fly in to form a logo. BBC Films. BBC Films presents, in association with Protagonist Pictures and Tumbledown Productions Limited, a De Chevaux and Cat's Eyes Films production. In association with Krasnov Foster Entertainment, an Israel Horovitz film. A man of about 60 is walking through Paris on a sunny morning. Graffiti on a wall reads, "Today is the shadow of tomorrow." The man stops to read a public notice on the gate of a leafy square. Then he looks up at an arborist dangling from a tree with a chainsaw. Starring Kevin Kline as Matthias, Kristin Scott Thomas as Chloe, and Maggie Smith as Mathilde. My Old Lady. The man consults a piece of paper as he wanders down a lane to the grand double doors of building number 13. The paper in his hand is a letter addressed to Mr. Matthias Gold in New York. Before he can find the apartment number on the doorbell panel, a businessman emerges from the double doors, and Matthias wedges them open with his foot so he can get into the courtyard beyond. He carries his holdall across the mossy cobblestones, spinning around as he looks up at the windows set into the high stone walls hung with vines. A woman on the ground floor quickly retreats behind a curtain, and Matthias looks over. He lets himself into the building and knocks at an apartment door. It's open.
Hello? Hello? Bonjour?
Bonjour?
A spiral staircase.
Hello?
He climbs.
Nobody home?
He stops on the shadowy first floor landing and looks about him at the closed doors at either end. Putting down his bag, he climbs to the top floor.
Hello?
More closed doors await him. He follows a corridor.
Here?
The next door he knocks at is unlocked, and he looks in on a spare room filled with suitcases with an antelope head mounted on one wall near a rack of rifles. Closing the door again, he checks the last room in the corridor, then goes back down to the first floor landing. Looking about, he knocks at one of the closed doors. He lets himself into a lamp-lit sitting room with the curtains drawn. An elderly woman's dozing in a chair.
Excuse me. Hello? Hello? Oh, God!
Oh, monsieur.
I'm sorry. I just suis désolé.
No,
parce que...
Non,
je suis... La... J'ai frappé la porte. La porte, le port.
I think it would be better for... both of us, if you spoke in English.
Yes, well, the door downstairs was open, and I just...
You're Matthias.
I'm Matthias, yes. I actually call myself Jim, but I like Matthias. How do you know my name?
Maître Bruno told me you'd be stopping by. The lawyer, you're Christophe Bruno.
Oh, yeah, the lawyer for the apartment. Yes, see, I inherited this apartment from my father. He died and left...
And I'm Madame Girard. Mathilde Girard.
Okay, well, nice to meet you. Do you think, could you show me around?
Could I? Oh, yes, I could, of course. I could. There are quite a few rooms upstairs.
Yeah, a lot. I went up there before I saw you.
Oh. You know, I haven't been up there in years. My legs are useless. Some of the rooms haven't been used for 30 years. And this is the Salon d'Hiver. In its time, it was a glorious room. We had wonderful parties out there in the garden.
Wait, that garden is, that's part of the property?
Matthias walks out onto the sunny lawn bordered by tall leafy shrubs and golden trees. Mathilde watches from the bay window as Matthias takes photos with his phone. He waves up at her, then comes back inside with a smile.
A garden like that in the middle of Paris must be worth a fortune. That's awfully nice.
A grand piano.
Oof. Little out of tune, but it's got a nice action.
You look remarkably like your father.
You knew my father? Did he buy the apartment from you?
Didn't you speak with Maître Bruno?
The lawyer, I called him.
Oh, no, he doesn't speak English.
Not a lot, no, and I haven't spoken French since I was a kid.
So nobody's ever explained the situation?
What situation?
This apartment. It's a viager.
The word viager means literally for life.
It's a French system, you know, for buying and selling apartments. The buyer gets the apartment cheaply, you see, for what we call a petit bouquet. But then the buyer must pay the seller a fee, you know, until the seller...
I don't quite follow this. My father bought this apartment as an investment 40 years ago.
Oh, no, 43 years ago. It was after my husband died.
43 years ago. He owned this apartment until he died and left it to me in his will, which was just probated.
He must have inherited quite a lot.
Some books, his watch, and this apartment.
In total?
Period.
Where did the rest go?
Oh, to who?
To whom?
Oh, to whom?
Yes. I'm so sorry. I taught English for years. I mean, I've stopped teaching formally, but I cannot stop correcting people, sorry. So, tell me, where did the rest go?
Paid off his money to charity. He didn't feel comfortable leaving it to me.
Oh, except the apartment.
The apartment and, some French classics in French, which should be very useful. And that's it. So who's been collecting your rent?
It's not rent, you see. It's a fee payable to me each month.
Sorry, payable to you?
To me.
Until you die?
Not a minute afterwards. Thank you.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Not at all. It's not a lot of money by today's standards for an apartment this size. You know, 2,400 euros a month.
And I'm responsible?
Well, I've been paid to the end of the month, but when the new month begins...
So what I inherited was a 2,400 euro a month debt.
Well, it seems like it.
Perfect. He got me again.
Are you unwell?
Yeah, a bit, yeah. I used the last cent that I had to get here. This place was my last hope.
Well, this apartment, don't you have an apartment in New York?
No, not anymore, no.
Well, weren't you planning on going back?
The plan was to sell this apartment and then I go somewhere. I don't know, somewhere.
Just not stay in Paris.
But you have a plane ticket home.
So what you're saying is I I own this apartment and I also own you.
Yes. Yes, you own the apartment and you also own me. Until I die. After I've died.
Then I'll just own the apartment.
Exactly.
How old are you?
Sorry.
Please understand, I'm in shock. I completely broke. I owe everyone I know money. Except for a box full of French books. In this apartment, I have nothing.
Well, didn't you have anything yourself before your father died?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had lots of stuff. A long time ago, when I was married.
Oh, you're not married anymore.
No, I'm divorced. A couple of times. Three times.
Oh, three divorces.
One for each of my three unpublished novels.
Any children?
Sorry? Oh, children, no. No.
I'm 90.
That's a big number.
Yes, I've been here since my 20s. 70 years ago, I was born in England.
And you stayed English?
Well, when you're born English, you stay English. Englishness is so obvious. You have no choice. How old are you? 60?
Oh, 60-ish. I'm 57 and 11 months.
How did you get to be 57 and 11 months and have so little to show for it?
Hey, please, don't be subtle with me. If you have something you want to ask me that's a little cruel, just ask me.
I'm 90. Subtlety is not something that interests me. Come with me.
She crosses the room with the aid of a walking stick.
Take this. You can stay here for a while. Until you know what you're doing.
Thank you.
I'll get the femme de ménage to make up a room for you upstairs. Do you have any luggage?
Just the one bag.
That's it?
That's it.
I think you need some air. You take a walk. Take a walk by the Seine. The light will be beautiful. Only don't... Please don't jump in. You'll probably fail to drown yourself and just end up with a dreadful cold. Dinner is at 8 o'clock, precisely. Don't be late, or I'll start without you.
Ooh, I'm still 6 hours behind.
I'll have to charge you something for staying here. I always need money, and that watch is gold.
You're a pirate, Madame Gerard.
C'est vrai.
She clasps his watch in her hand. As he leaves the building, the nosy neighbour in the courtyard opens her door a crack. Then Matthias is sprayed by a street cleaner's hose on his way out. Wiping the water from his face, he straightens his jacket and steps onto the road. On a park bench, he flips the bird at his camera phone and takes a selfie. He watches street cleaners chatting and cyclists coasting by. Drawing his legs up onto the bench, he arches his back and stretches. Looking disgruntled, he strolls by the Seine, stomping to scare a pigeon. His eye is caught by a lone woman pacing and singing on the far bank. An estate agent is collating photos at his desk when Matthias stops to peer at the ads in the window. Noticing him, the agent waves and beckons him into the shop.
Attention, vous voulez peut-être bonjour à petit enseignement. Auguste Lefebvre, pardon.
Lefebvre, oui. Ah, I'm Matthias Gold. Call me Jim. Yeah, any chance you speak a little English?
Yes, yes, of course, a little bit, Jim.
Oh, good. I'm wondering if you have an apartment about 400 to 600 square meters.
Oh, I can see. I might have something. Yes, sit down, please. How big did you say?
Around 400 to 600 square meters.
Yes, with a little imagination and a bit of money. This could be a vrai palace. Masterpiece.
Hmm. And this is how much?
Oh, the owners ask 12 millions, but I think you can make an offer. Oui, fair enough.
12 million. Oui. And how much would this be worth if there were a garden in the back that's equally, if not bigger, in size?
Why do you ask this?
Actually, I'm looking to sell.
Ah, d'accord, d'accord. And where is your apartment?
It's in the Marais.
Ah.
Yeah, I inherited it. It's really big. I've got some pictures.
Let's see.
It's two stories, mm-hmm. about that long, and this huge garden.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah, there's only one problem. See that old lady? Oh. Yeah, she lives there. It's a viager.
This is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. She's 90.
Not so bad.
Yeah. This French guy, whose name I can't pronounce, he's called me a couple times. We Skyped while I was still in New York, and he's really hot to buy it. Of course, I didn't tell him about the old lady. I didn't know about her.
Well, if you see him, tell him she's 90 right away. Tout de suite, what you did.
Good point. Yeah. Do you have a card?
Oh, yes, yes, of course, of course. I do. Bien sûr. Voilà.
Thanks. I'll be in touch.
Okay. Call me.
I eat dinner each night at precisely 8 o'clock. And breakfast is at precisely 8 a.m. I don't eat lunch. Lunch is not a meal that interests me. Oh, please. It's a 10-year-old Gigondas. Should be lovely. 10 years is a perfect age for Gigondas. Any younger and the Syrah overpowers the Grenache. Any older and the alcohol overpowers everything and everyone.
You are very precise, very precise, Madame Girard.
Precision is the key to a long life. Precision and wine.
Right, yes. I'm just gonna have water. I don't drink alcoholic beverages anymore.
You had a drink problem?
Wasn't a problem for me, just for the people around me.
Mathilde rolls the wine around her mouth.
Mm-hmm. Bit young. What a pity.
Lying in darkness in one of the spare beds upstairs, Matthias turns over abruptly to glare at the old ticking clock on the bedside table. Downstairs, a woman coming in casts a shadow on the landing. As she takes off her coat, Matthias is tossing and turning in bed. Trying to read, Matthias looks up distractedly at the wild animal heads mounted on the walls around him. The woman lets herself into a different room on the top floor. In the spare room, Matthias gets out of bed and takes down one of the rifles from the rack on the wall. Turning it over in his hands, he checks to see if it's loaded, then clicks the barrel back into place and poses in front of a mirror with the gun. He points it at his own reflection.
Vous parlez de me? Parlez-vous anglais? Cochon.
He aims at a wild boar's head on the wall, then drops the rifle. Wrapping himself tightly in a dressing gown, he heads down the lamplit hallway to the toilet.
Ah!
Oh! Oh, God! What? I'm...
You!
Very sorry. I'm sorry. I had no idea anybody else was in the house. I didn't see anything. You're, je suis désolé.
C'est quoi ça?
Oh, Mathias, this is Chloe. Chloe, this is Mathias.
What are you doing here?
I own this apartment. And I also own Madame Girard. You work here?
No, Chloe is my daughter. She lives here.
Your daughter?
Why are you staying here?
Well, your mother invited me.
Il porte le peignoir de papa.
Il
est là depuis quand?
Depuis hier soir.
She seems upset. But is she leaving?
She's probably going to check the rooms to see where you slept.
She doesn't think you and I, Never mind.
Upstairs in the spare room, Chloe rifles through Matthias's wallet and checks his passport. She fondly strokes some framed photos of her father on the dresser before leaving the room.
Oh, hello. That's my room. Can I help you?
How long are you staying here?
Here in Paris or here in the apartment?
Here, in this apartment. How long are you staying in this apartment?
I don't know. I'm paying rent.
Why?
Why?
Why are you paying rent?
Chloe!
Maman, s'il te plaît! Je veux lui parler seule!
Oh, no, you don't have to speak French in front of me. I can go to my room if you
yes,
like.
Yes, please. Thank you. Do.
What, go to my room?
Yes, please do.
Your daughter has a wonderfully welcoming spirit. I feel bienvenue, beyond belief in her presence.
Tu as perdu la tête?
Pourquoi dis-tu ça? Tu sais qui il est.
Je sais exactement qui il est. J'ai deux mots à vous dire.
No French. No, my French is for shit.
Please, don't be vulgar.
Well, I'll try not to be, but I can't make any promises.
I know exactly who you are, and I know exactly why you're here.
Who am I, exactly, and why am I here?
Chloe!
Maman, s'il te plaît!
I had a Cairn Terrier named Murphy who used to eavesdrop constantly. He was, 90 in dog years when he died. Same age as your mom.
My mother's 92.
She told me she was 90.
She lies about her age.
Oh, she had me totally fooled.
You have no legal access here before my mother dies. If you continue to trespass, Mr. Gold,
whoa, let's just start all over, okay? Hi, I'm Matthias Gold. I'm from New York. I'm renting a room from your mother. I've paid her.
I've no time for this. Simply and clearly, if you are not out of this apartment by noon today, our lawyers will petition the police to have...
Excuse me, but I'd like to say something, simply and clearly. This is my apartment. Yeah, my dad bought it, and he paid for it over 43 years, gazillions of dollars, and then he left it to me. I don't care if your mother's 500 years old and the two of you end up living in a tent. I own this apartment, and I'm gonna sell this apartment. The moment I have the money in my pocket, I'll be gone, and not a minute before. Okay?
You heard what he said? Hmm?
Chloe marches back to her room and slams the door. On the floor below, Mathilde hobbles back to her own room. Matthias wakes in morning light.
Dinner.
Matthias creeps along the hall, wrapped in a duvet. Looking furtively about him, he lets himself into the other spare room full of old furniture and starts photographing the antiques with his phone. In the city, Matthias peers through the window of a vintage boutique.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Parlez-vous English?
Yes, definitely. I speak Français, Anglais, Dutch, Polonais, whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I got some things here I want to sell.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, no. I can't really sell the oldie stuff. No. But I quite like those 50 pieces.
Oh, okay. I got four of those.
Oh, right. No. And the lamp. The lamp could be interesting.
That's Art Deco, that table.
Brilliant.
So how much for four chairs like that?
Yeah.
An Art Deco table and the lamp.
A minute. 900, if everything is in top condition.
Everything's in top condition.
Yeah.
That's why it's worth 1,300.
No. 1,000 is my absolute maximum.
1,200?
You can deliver today?
I'll do my best.
Brilliant.
Pleasure doing business with you.
Back in the apartment storage room, Matthias tries in vain to hook all four 50s-era dining chairs over his arms. Eventually, he manages to carry them all the way to the shop, where he stops in the doorway and sinks into one of the chairs.
My table? My lamp?
Be right back.
Thank you.
He emerges from the metro.
1,200.
Merci beaucoup.
Counting the cash, he returns to the apartment, where he meets a woman with a vacuum cleaner on the stairs.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour.
Ça vous dérange si je fais votre chambre?
What?
Cleaning.
Cleaning. No, thanks.
No, I do.
Oh, good.
When she's gone upstairs, he waits for Mathilde to disappear into her room. Then he rifles through some papers in the drawer of a writing desk in the hall. Finding a letter in French from a doctor called Florence Horowitz, he reads it at the street door of the courtyard, then walks to the address on the letterhead. Dr. Horowitz.
Thank you for seeing me. I found you through Madame Mathilde Girard.
Mm-hmm. You are Madame Girard's friend.
Friend? You could say that. Yes, provisionally. I'm Matthias Gold.
What can I do for you, Mr. Gold? Are you ill?
No, am I ill? No. I was actually inquiring about Madame Girard's health.
Is she ill?
Well, that's what I was hoping to find out. I mean, she's quite elderly.
Why are you asking?
Well, if I can be honest, I own her apartment as a viager.
Oh. Well, you may have made a terrible investment, Mr. Gold. When I last saw Madame Girard, she was in top form.
Top form?
Mm-hmm. French woman can live a long time.
Yes, it's the red wine, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. We had in France an old woman, the oldest in the world, Jeanne Calment.
Never heard of her.
She was 122 years old when she died. She sold her apartment in the Viager contract with her lawyer when she was 90. Her lawyer paid her several thousand francs a month for 30 years until he died. A Viager can be a very bad gamble.
Mm.
As far as I know, Madame Girard is in excellent health and could well outlive Jeanne Calment.
And you've been Madame Girard's doctor for a long time?
Madame Girard and her daughter were my mother's patients for many years. Now they're mine. They're also my English teachers. We exchange skills. I get private lessons, they get doctoring. It's an excellent arrangement.
Yes. You exchange skills. That's charming. Well, thank you for your time.
Not at all.
Outside a hotel, a boarding man in a suit checks his watch, then looks up as Chloe walks down the dark street towards him with a smile. Wandering a short distance away, Matthias watches the man kiss Chloe's cheek before leading her into the hotel. Matthias is back at Mathilde's dining table when the clock strikes 8. He's writing in a notebook when she wheels in a serving trolley.
I'll get that.
Oh, no. The trolley gives me balance.
Oh, I just wanted to help.
If I allow people to help, they don't help at all.
I know what you mean.
So when were you last in Paris?
Oh, I haven't been here since I was a kid.
Oh, why is that?
I think it's because my mother thought that Paris was the enemy. Oh. In a way, my father was here on business all the time, and I think we kind of got the feeling that he loved Paris more than he loved his wife or his son. Why are there
guns in my room.
Oh, my husband's business took him to Africa and he loved safari. Always game shooting.
Ah, that explains the dead animals on my wall, the pig and the cow.
It's a wild boar. I can't remember what else was on the wall. I wouldn't think it's a cow.
Well, to me, anything of that girth is a cow.
Lucky you weren't here a few months ago. You see, I've just sold most of his animal head collection. Oh, there were animal heads everywhere. Lions, tigers, zebra.
Carnage.
Yes, absolument, carnal. So what are your memories of Paris?
Oh, not a lot. My father had an apartment near here. I remember kicking a ball in a courtyard with a concierge.
Not with your father?
Oh, definitely not with my father, no.
Was he alone when he died?
He meets her gaze.
I don't know. He was in a home.
It's a fear of mine.
He's buried here in France somewhere. They shipped his ashes over.
Yes. Fruit de mer.
Ah, why not?
I hope you like oysters.
Oh, yes.
I have them specially delivered on Tuesdays.
Ah, expensive, no?
Not at all, not at all. I bought English lessons with the owner of the restaurant, and his wife makes the mayonnaise. Oh. Would you please?
Oh.
It's a Chablis.
Ah.
1990. Remarkable. My private students come here tonight between 9 and 10 for English conversation. I don't think we'll disturb you.
Oh, I'm sure you won't.
Good health. Long life.
He doesn't return her crafty smile or her toast. Up in his room, he makes notes by lamplight beneath the boar's head on the wall. Sighing at the laughter from downstairs, he puts the notebook aside and peers out his door.
Now, today is Jean-Christophe's birthday, so...
Oh, happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Yes, happy birthday. And you know, we say, many happy returns of the day.
Many happy returns of the day.
Bravo, bravo. And what are you reading, Jean-Christophe?
I'm reading Ulysse by Jane Joyce.
Oh, but it's Ulysses.
Ulysses.
Can you?
Ulysses.
Ulysses. Such difficult language.
But well worth the struggle. Yes, Florence.
What is the meaning of the word wang?
Wang? Well, it's an Oriental dynasty. What are you reading?
A roman by a young disciple of Philippe Roth, Philippe Pross.
What is the context?
His blood-filled wang was in her mouth when the tea kettle whistled.
Ah. C'est du porno. Also, for mouth.
Mouse.
Mouse is a little thing. A little in her mouth.
In her mouth?
Yes.
Oh.
In morning light, Chloe creeps down the hall to Matthias's door and tears off a page of notepaper that she leaves on the floor for him to find. Checking her watch, she hurries to the toilet.
Oh, sorry, nearly done.
Super-sing.
I'm done. It's all yours.
But she's gone.
Okay.
He finds the note in elegant handwriting outside his door.
Cafe Colbert, 2 o'clock. Okay.
So if I can't sell my old lady and I can't sell my apartment, can I sell the contract?
Oui, mais when someone can afford a high-end apartment, they rarely want involvement in a viager situation.
Why is there only one toilet in such a big apartment?
One toilet at the French way. French people love eating, but pooing isn't so important. The old lady probably has her own toilet downstairs.
What if I get the Girards to agree to split the apartment into two apartments? They keep the top floor, and I get you to sell the bottom floor for me.
No problem. If we can find a buyer who accepts a viager contract. Ce qui peut s'avérer un petit peu compliqué.
The French guy I told you about, Francois something, he's very hot to buy the apartment. And I'm meeting the daughter at 2 o'clock at a cafe. I invited him to join us so I can propose this split idea.
Well, I'll be anxious to know. Did you tell him about the old lady's age?
Yeah, nothing seems to scare him.
Of course not. It's a good age, good address. Mm.
Where do you live, Lefebvre?
I live in the blood of Paris.
Emerging from the metro again, Matthias joins Chloe at a cafe.
Your coat's torn.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Has, Francois Roy contacted you yet?
Francois Roy?
A man called Francois Roy will be contacting you regarding the sale of the apartment.
Yes, he already called me in New York. We Skyped.
Oh. Be careful with him. He's a snake.
Mademoiselle Girard, I think we're about to have a little problem.
It's a pleasure to meet you face to face, Mr. Gold.
Yes, it were.
What are you doing here?
This is yours.
No.
Monsieur Gold m'a très gentiment invité à vous joindre.
You invited him?
Just call me Jim and remember I don't speak French.
Not a problem, Jim. We'll speak English.
Good.
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit late.
This is an outrage. Did you not speak to Maître Bruno?
I have. Several times.
I want to propose something. This idea of splitting the apartment into two apartments. You keep apartment A with the toilet, and I sell apartment B to Wawa.
Vous êtes fou. Vous êtes un imbécile.
I don't speak French, but I get the gist of imbécile. What about you?
I'm only interested in the entire apartment, as is.
Then what do you propose to offer for the entire apartment, as is?
What did you do? You're very direct.
Yes. Well?
9 million euros.
The apartment's worth 12 million.
Probably more.
I think not.
Well, I've been talking to the best real estate agent in France several times. And this man lives in the blood of Paris.
At the moment, the property is a mess. Oh. Both literally and
Allô?
Legally.
Oui, c'est Chloé Girard à l'appareil. Je voudrais parler à Maître Bruno, s'il vous plaît.
I'm prepared to consider
Dix
your
minutes,
offer.
D'accord.
Jim, you are legally within your rights to sell the contract.
Why don't you just murder my mother and me? Make things a lot easier. Can't you see what you're doing? On Tuesday, my mother dies. On Wednesday, this man has me thrown out on the street with no money and no home. And on Thursday, the building that my great-grandfather built for his children and their children and their children's children is destroyed by this monster and turned into one of those hideous hotels. It's all about the money, isn't it?
That's the speech you should have made to your mother before she sold the apartment to this man's father.
For money.
My mother sold her apartment to this man's father to keep it away from your father!
Guys, you've got to keep it down, okay? Look, I just need a week to consider your offer, but I'm going to need a good faith advance during the week of consideration.
I don't completely understand.
You haven't heard a single word I've said, have you?
Quiet, please. It means that I won't negotiate with anyone else for 1 week while I'm considering your offer, but right now I need a binder from you, a small bouquet in cash. How much cash do you have on you?
Are you serious?
Deadly. Let's look in our wallet, shall we?
Really?
No joke.
Looking indignant, Francois takes out his wallet.
160 euros.
That'll do. Okay. Well, you have my word as a New Yorker. I will not talk to anyone else, and I will give you my answer in 1 week exactly.
This is your week. Mr. Gold, Jim.
you.
Sherman was a jar.
Wawa?
Let me get the tea.
Charmant? Garçon? Gendarme?
Le check.
He plans to turn our building into a hotel like the two monstrosities he has in Montparnasse. He has options to buy every apartment in our building as soon as he gets ours, but until he gets ours, the city won't give permission.
So he really needs the apartment. Excellent.
Yes, it's not about money. It's about preserving a historic neighborhood.
Yeah, I get all that. But just what is so wrong about my idea about dividing it into two apartments?
It's unacceptable.
Why? What do you want?
I want to buy the entire apartment from you and keep it exactly as it is, and I'm prepared to offer you 3,000 euros a square meter.
You're joking, right?
Mr. Gold, if you had a heart or a soul, you would accept my offer.
The apartment's worth 10 times that. You heard Wawa's offer. Yeah, I mean, that was just his opener.
Let me simplify things. By contract, we are due to receive 2,400 euros from you in 1 week precisely. If we don't receive our money in a timely fashion, our lawyers will instruct the court to have your contract made null and void. Bon après-midi, Jim.
She marches away. At home, Mathilde's dozing while a Parisian jazz record plays.
Sorry.
Come in. No, I was just reading.
I just had tea with your daughter.
Oh, now that pleases me.
Does it? I'm not sure your daughter would share your enthusiasm.
Well, are you still not getting on?
Not so much, no. Mrs. G, I want you to know I'm trying to be fair.
About the apartment?
I offered your daughter an extremely reasonable solution, and she rejected it.
This is something you must resolve with Clary, for obvious reasons.
Why obvious?
I'll be dead, won't I?
Right. Well, anyway, I wanted you to know I'm trying to be reasonable. Is your daughter going to be having dinner here tonight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's Wednesday. She teaches the night class, and she usually has dinner with her friend beforehand.
She has a friend.
She has.
A male friend?
It is.
Has your daughter ever been married?
Not at all. Do you find my daughter interesting?
Nice riff. Are you a serious jazz person?
I am. You know, I saw Django Reinhardt play guitar. The Grosse Pomme, Montmartre, about 50 times or more.
Genius.
Seems 100 years ago. Poor chap, he died so young. I had a romantic liaison with Django Reinhardt. Well, no, it's more a flirtation, really, you know. Just a fling.
You had a fling with Django Reinhardt?
Well, Paris was different then, you know. It was just after the war. We were young and carefree, in love with love. Every day was filled with romantic possibilities.
This is actually a fact. You really had a fling with Django Reinhardt?
I did.
You devil. That's very cool. Did you ever, date Sigmund Freud?
No.
I may not be back in time for dinner.
Are you going out?
Yes, I feel that I should.
She looks a little despondent as he leaves. He arrives outside a building where, among the other businesses listed, is the MG School of English. Taking a quick peek through the door, he wanders off again. The door of the building standing open when a young woman emerges, and not far behind her is Chloe. Matthias is perched in an alcove beside one of the windows at street level, and he hops down to follow Chloe in secret. Straightening his jacket, he keeps about a block between himself and Chloe. She's walking down a tree-lined street strewn with fallen leaves when she spots her boyfriend rounding the corner opposite. Looking surprised and delighted, she waves, but he looks uneasy and points to a nearby cafe. A woman and two girls are waiting for him at the cafe. From across the street, Matthias watches Chloe's boyfriend kiss his wife and daughters. Chloe walks onwards and down some stone steps into a leafy park dappled with sunlight. Matthias dives into the bushes to intercept her with his camera phone further along the path.
So, Gerard!
Oh,
fancy meeting you of all French people.
Stop it!
Oh, it takes great pictures. Doesn't work as a phone anymore because I didn't pay my bill. It's also good for telling you time now that your mother's taken my watch. So where are you coming from?
Work.
Really? You work?
I do. I teach.
Really? What?
What?
What do you teach?
English.
Oh, where?
My mother's school. It's a bilingual French-English school. She sold it.
Ah, but you still work there?
While the school still exists, they're obliged to employ me. I was part of the sale.
Let me guess, your mother arranged that?
She did.
Yeah, that seems to be her specialty. So, tell me, who's the guy in the restaurant?
What?
The guy in the restaurant, he looked familiar. I think I saw him duck into a hotel with you the other day, but today he didn't seem quite so happy to see you, well, with the wife and all, the kids, you know.
How dare you?
Oh, I dare. You give me all that holier-than-thou crap about family and tradition, and you're doing the hoopie with somebody's husband, some kid's dad, and I'm a heartless bastard because I want to sell an apartment?
This is not your affair.
Oh, good choice of words. I'm just wondering if it might be worth, say, 2,400 euros a month to somebody for me not to sit down with that man's wife and, you know, have a little conversation over a café filtre and pain au chocolat.
Please don't do that.
See? Just when you think things are really bad, they get terrible.
Gaping, she marches away. Back at the apartment, Matthias sorts through more items in the storage room, photographing them with his phone. There are some floral cushions and a dusty woven rug, which he shakes out and drapes over a chair. Matthias photographs the rug from several angles, then snaps a picture of the bookcase behind it, which is full of files. Approaching the bookcase, he reaches in among a stack of photo frames and takes out the smallest one. It contains a black and white picture of a young Mathilde sitting with a dark-haired man in a suit. Somebody has written on the photo in blue pen.
If you do not love me, I shall not be loved.
A smaller, loose photo shows the same couple lying entwined under a tree. Matthias looks at it thoughtfully, then walks to the bay window overlooking the garden. Mathilde is sitting out under the trees with a blanket over her knees, while gardeners rake the fallen leaves around her.
Oh, bonjour.
Yeah, bonjour. Mrs. G,
have you by any chance the charity that got my inheritance?
No, not at all, not at all.
But, you knew my father pretty well.
He shows her the photo.
Your father and I were lovers since I was 29. If you want to know for whom you are named, your name for me. I am Mathilde, you are Matthias.
Looking disoriented, he sinks into a garden chair. Mathilde watches his face warily, but averts her eyes when he glares at her. At night, on the bank of the Seine, Matthias uncorks a bottle of wine and starts to drink.
Oh, peace like a river.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Long past the midnight.
The end of my wagonhood. Cheers.
The young lovers walk on, and he drinks deeply. He stares up at the leering stone faces of the gargoyles lining the nearest bridge, then holds up the wine bottle in a toast.
And I remember misinformation follows like a plane. Nobody knew from time to time if the plans were changed.
A rose cellar creeps up on Matthias when he's dozing on the low wall at the edge of the river. And when he wakes up to drink some more, he finds only a rose in his pocket instead of his wallet. He groggily fumbles in his jeans and jacket, but finds nothing.
You can run out your rules, but you know you can't outrun a history train.
Sniffing the rose, Matthias looks with bleary eyes at the gulls wheeling above the river as day dawns. He returns to the apartment.
Oh, what?
Oh, there you are. I've been so worried. You've been drinking.
Drinking, getting robbed. No wallet, no phone. My head feels like a broken arm.
I've been terribly upset.
Oh, that makes two of us. I'd like to ask you some questions.
I'll try to answer them.
When exactly did you meet my father?
Just a few years after Chloe's father and I got married. I knew when I met him he would be the love of...
Spare me the fromage.
Where was my mother when this was happening?
In Paris. They just met.
So my father married my mother after you two already hooked up.
We were young. My husband was very successful in business and your father was penniless. You see, just seemed the best plan.
How is it at my age I can still be shocked?
Well, I'm shocked that you're shocked. During three marriages, you never had a lover?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Madame G. Some people do the right thing.
Well, why would you know the right thing and your father and I not know? What is so especially clever about you and your way of understanding life?
Ah, well. I know my pain. You see, I know the pain that you brought into my life, and I don't like it.
Oh, just stop drinking.
Why?
It's only an escape.
Bingo. Mrs. G, I'm sorry, I failed to see the wonder of you. It's no surprise that Max loved you. You're his soulmate. Max Gold was the coldest son of a bitch I ever knew, and I have known some Trey Conard Fouad.
I will not hear this.
What? Wait, you will hear this if I want to say it. You tell me my father was Casanova and St. John the Divine combined, and I'm supposed to what, sit there and nod, and you, when I try to point out that my father was less like St. John and more like Captain Hook, you just won't hear it.
Your father was loving, kind, and generous to a fault.
Oh, I'm sure he was. With you, but not with me, and certainly not with his wife. I remember.
I remember being a kid and watching my mother. I saw. I knew. Look, I have no doubt that what you're saying is the truth, but this particular truth is your truth, not mine. Definitely not my mother's.
Chloe's listening.
I don't have a friend in the world. When my friends see me coming, they cross the street. Oh, no. They're terrified. If they get too close, they're going to catch some loser virus.
Yeah, that's exactly what your father said about you.
Excuse me.
You drink too much. and you have no self-esteem.
Exactly. I drink too much, and I have no self-esteem.
Do people like you and my father ever wonder why? I mean, do you think self-esteem is some kind of birthright? That the baby's born and the doctor slaps him on his ass and he says, look, he's got all of his fingers, he's got all of his toes, he's got his little dick, he's got his self-esteem. It doesn't work that way. No, if you want to kill a kid, you shoot him, you just do nothing. You just keep your distance and watch the kid wither and devote his miserable life to trying to please you, to displease you. Now, at some point, the kid decides, oh, I've just got to stop trying, but you can't stop trying. You think everyone else in the world is loved, but not you. You've got this terrible secret.
Wiping his mouth, he swigs more wine.
I can't imagine that my parents spent a good deal of time organizing my birth. I can only imagine my mother desperately unhappy, sobbing in the night, my father home from travel, home from your bed, throwing in a little midnight mercy hump. Then my mother's pregnant with me, with this constant, permanent reminder of this man.
Just stop talking.
Wait, you don't want to hear about the other woman?
Absolutely not! Just stop talking.
What's that?
I knew your father better than any person on the face of this planet, better than your mother, certainly better than you. And he was not your enemy. You just need someone to blame for your misery, so you blame him. Well, your father is not the source of your failure. Not the source of your poverty. And he's certainly not the reason for your unthinkable sadness. You have life left, Matthias. There is no greater wealth. Yeah, I'm an old woman. There's nothing more charming than exasperation. And you've exhausted me. Would you please just leave me alone.
Fine.
Draining the bottle, he drops it and staggers out, finding Chloe on the stairs.
You better start packing, because I'm selling.
Matthias in Francois's office.
Oui, oui, cher maître. Oui. Comme golfeur, tu vaux pas grand-chose. Comme avocat, heureusement. Bon, je te laisse. Hein. Excuse me, Jim. Business.
Do you have anything for a headache?
I do.
He rummages in a drawer.
This works quickly. I'm very pleased by your decision, Jim.
Good. When do I get the money?
As soon as the contract is signed.
And how soon do I get the contract?
Oh, is tomorrow noon all right?
Yeah, that'll be fine. I'm gonna need another small bouquet as a binder, 3,000 euros.
You'll have much more than that tomorrow when you sign the contract.
Yeah, but I need 3,000 euros today in cash.
I'm afraid it won't be possible.
Oh, well, then I won't be able to sign the contract and you won't be able to ever have the apartment. Cheers.
Is this a threat, Mr. Gold?
No, Mr. Wawa, this is a fact.
Matthias returns to the courtyard of the apartment building.
Vous êtes Monsieur Gold?
Wrong, Monsieur Gold. That one's dead.
The grey-haired woman looks baffled as she wheels a rubbish bin away. In the apartment storage room, Matthias rifles through a collection of black and white photos in an old writing desk. Taking some out, he closes the desk and sits down to look through the pictures. After one of an unremarkable landscape, he finds a photo of a boy and girl standing together in a garden. Examining it closely, He frowns and sighs. He finds Mathilde addressing an envelope.
Tell me about this. That's Chloe, isn't it? Right?
Yes, it's Chloe. Your father took that in the garden. You were beautiful children. He brought you here once.
Oh.
He never came back here after your mother died.
He wrote some beautiful letters to me, but he never came back.
Mrs. G, it's really not easy for me to process this fabulous love story of yours. I get that my father loved you. What I don't get is that he never loved me.
Well, of course he loved you. He just thought you were more your mother's child than his.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, what about when I was 20 and living on my own? Or when I was 40, near death at Lenox Hill Hospital, 6 blocks from his house.
Well, where were you in hospital?
I had an accident. I was taking a bath and my razor blade slipped and cut both my wrists rather badly.
You tried to kill yourself?
I'm not very adept. You saw that right away. Remember the first day you said, don't jump in the Seine, you'll just get a head cold.
Matthias, you must get help.
Help? what sort of help were you thinking about? Psychoanalysis? I tried that. My doctor told me that I should put the child that I was on the knee of the man I had become and comfort the child. But I keep having these dreams where the child that I was is on my knee and my hands are around his throat. Well, speaking of children, where is your daughter? Isn't she usually home by now?
In darkness, Matthias comes out of the toilet and notices a light coming from Chloe's room. He creeps up to the door, which is standing ajar, and peeps in at Chloe, who's balled up on the chair at her desk, playing with her hair and looking pensive. She hugs her knees forlornly, and Matthias creeps away again. Chloe climbs a staircase in another building.
Je peux vous aider?
Oui, je suis désolée de vous déranger chez vous. En fait, je suis la prof d'anglais de Philippe.
Je sais exactement qui vous êtes.
Vous pouvez lui dire que j'ai arrêté de donner des cours.
Philippe!
Chloé?
I've stopped teaching, Philippe, so you'll have to find yourself another teacher. But I hope you don't, because your English is perfect, and if you stop taking classes, you'll be able to spend more time with your wife and your children. There we are. Voilà.
Non, Chloé, attends.
He glances up at his flat.
I don't know what to say.
Say this is a mistake. Say I've got 2 beautiful daughters waiting for me at home. This is crazy.
Chloe.
Do you really want to put your beautiful family at risk?
Again, he glances up the stairs.
No.
He reaches for her, but she pulls away and leaves. Back at the apartment, Mathilde's in bed, looking wistfully through a tiny album of old photos. She lets it fall to her lap as she drifts off to sleep. Chloe comes in and puts her bag down, heading straight for her mother's room. She checks on Mathilde, clearing away her spectacles and the album and kissing her on the forehead before turning off the lamp. In the kitchen, Matthias stops gazing at the old photo of him and Chloe for long enough to find a fresh bottle of wine. Hearing him rummaging, Chloe heads for the kitchen and Matthias pockets some other photos.
Oh, heavy date tonight?
Excuse me?
I don't think I will. Oh, I've got your rent. Here you go.
$600 for me, and
$2,400 for you. Paid in full.
Thank you.
You better keep your mother alive for a long time, because as soon as she's dead, there goes the neighborhood.
When he's gone, Chloe heaves a sigh, then notices the photo he left on the bench. She's examining it at the desk in her room when Matthias comes in holding a book and a bottle of wine. She puts the photo away.
How can soul clap its hands?
What?
An aged man is but a paltry thing, a tattered coat upon a stick, unless soul clap its hands and sing. How can a soul clap its hands?
I vote.
All right, fine. So in the face of that, as it is your book, I'll ask you again. How can soul clap its hand?
Don't know, don't care.
I don't care. Nique ta mère. Nique ta mère. I don't care. The Yeatsian couplet in Goldian Franglais.
It's a pity my father didn't know you.
In what sense?
He would have had your head on the wall next to the other beasts.
Oh, in the Carnage sense, yes. Isn't it lovely when things make sense?
He produces the photos from his pocket.
Think your dad knew about my dad?
She smiles mirthlessly.
How could he not?
And you? You knew what was going on.
Looking pensive, she picks up the stack of old photos.
I was 10 years old when I discovered what was going on.
It's very precocious. I was 57 when I found out. Whoa. So what did you do?
What did you do about what?
Well, if I'd known what was going on, I would have done something about it.
What should I have done that I didn't do?
Stopped it!
I was 10!
You could have told your dad what you knew.
I hardly think that was my place.
And what would have been your place, ma chère demoiselle?
I suppose my place was to watch my father suffer.
Oh, your father suffered?
Oh, please. What do you think?
Is that why he shot and stuffed all those animals? So he wouldn't have to shoot and stuff your mother?
Or your father?
Or my father? Did you ever... Did your father ever ask you about it, directly?
Didn't need to ask, didn't you?
But he did ask, didn't he?
Yes.
And you lied?
And I lied.
How often did they see each other?
Often.
And your mother used you for an excuse to get out of the house? Why didn't your father try to stop it?
My father was totally discreet.
So, he suffered discreetly.
That's the way French people do it.
Yeah. Vive la French people! Vive la French people!
On the dark balcony, he drains his bottle.
Now that is truly sad. I mean, all this we talk about is, you know, it's got a kind of
historical, hysterical sadness to it, but this bottle is now. This is now. This is a incontrovertible fact, my dear
darling Mademoiselle Gerard.
Bottle's a dead soldier.
He lets it fall.
Ooh. Wow. I remember when I was 10. I saw my mother out on our balcony, through our doors, and she was leaning over the balcony. She was looking down on Park Avenue. She was crying. There was no question about what she was thinking about doing. No, she was leaning way, way over. And I knew I had about 5 seconds to do something, so I ran as fast as I could. Right, and I put my arm right through the glass on the door, and I cut it wide open, see? My mother snapped immediately into serious mother mode, and she wrapped my arm up in a towel and took me off to the hospital. I bled for her. She bled for me.
Chloe follows him back in.
9 years later, I came home one Saturday from college. I used the key to let myself in. I threw my duffel bag on the bed. I called, "Hey, Mom, home." She called back, "I'm in my room," this strange, throaty voice. I go in, and she has this gun.
Chloe looks up.
Not a hardy hunting rifle like your dad's. No, hers was a snub-nosed, chrome, kind of pistol-y thing that my father gave her to keep by her bed, just in case an intruder were to wander in while he was away. My father. She puts it in her mouth and she kills herself. No words, no complications, just boom. Terrible mess all over.
He slumps wearily.
I sat on the floor. I held her. She died.
He closes his eyes, and Chloe looks anguished.
My mother said she died from an illness.
A bullet in the throat can make a person extremely ill.
I'm so sorry.
She looks tearfully into his eyes, then crouches beside him and puts her hand in his.
She was wrong to do that to you.
He stares at the floor.
You're right. It wasn't very nice.
His tears spill over. He leans against her shoulder, and although she looks uncertain for a moment, she embraces him.
No.
Getting up, he hurries out, and she heaves a sigh. From outside the dark apartment, only one window is illuminated. Chloe's sitting up late, looking sadly at her mother's collection of old photos. With a deeply furrowed brow, she closes her eyes, takes off her reading glasses, and puts her hand to her mouth. Matthias wakes in morning light, wincing as he rolls over in bed. He snuggles something furry beside him, then realizes it's the wild boar's head.
Oh.
He hauls himself up.
Oof.
Wrapping himself in his duvet, he goes down the hall. He checks the other rooms.
Chloe.
I got it!
He hurries to the intercom, then goes downstairs.
Monsieur Good?
Yeah.
I'm François's assistant. Je dois repartir avec le contrat signé.
Yeah, yeah, give me that.
Am I disturbing you?
Are you disturbing me? That's a bit of politesse that boggles the brain. Do you mind if I close these curtains? Headache.
Oh, as you wish. Has Chloe left for school?
Oh, it's my guess. I don't know for sure. I can't, you know. Who could say? You know how it is with kids today.
You and my daughter were awake together last night.
Very precise. Usually a mother wants to know, did you sleep with my daughter? Which actually describes a perfectly innocent act. But were you awake with my daughter? That's a 64-year-old mother of a question.
I was awake most of the night thinking about your mother.
Really? And?
I was thinking that she didn't know about me as naive. She must have known. I mean, nothing passes unnoticed in a marriage. I think she knew, and I think somehow she approved.
Approved? You really believe that?
But she did nothing to stop it.
She was stuck in a marriage with a kid. She was trapped.
I stayed in my marriage by choice. I was pregnant at the same time as your mother.
Hold on. Is it possible that Max got two birds with one stone, if you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Did Chloe have her own father?
Of course. Of course Chloe had her own father. You had your father. Chloe had her father.
I think you're an old French fibber, Mrs. G.
What went on between your father and me concerned nobody but us. We were discreet, we were cautious, we were considerate.
I don't wish to cloud your delusions in any way, Mrs. G, but what went on between you and my father concerned me and your daughter quite significantly. You were hardly discreet, not at all cautious, and considerate? In view of the 10 to 15 suicide failures of my mother and the ultimate suicide success, I just don't see how the word considerate fits in exactly.
Your mother killed herself.
You didn't know? He didn't tell you?
No, I did not know. I knew she was ill. That's why he never came back.
That's so considerate. Madam G.
Mathilde's glasses left on a table and her walking stick still lying on the floor where she fell. Matthias is alone at the piano when Chloe walks in looking solemn.
Doctor gone?
Gone.
She sits.
She's dead or alive? She must be alive. I didn't hear any hideous screams. Spinach between my teeth? Can't have spinach between my teeth.
He takes an empty bottle from the boar's mouth.
Chateauneuf du pape between my teeth.
Do you want my mother to outlive you?
Well, reference to my drinking. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've been drinking with my little friend here. He's not very good company. He drinks not at all, and he says even less. A boar is a boar. Speaking of wordplay, I've been doing a little ink sport
myself, Anna. It's for you, it's a gift. It's a small memoir, mostly my anecdotage. But I think you'll be amused and engaged from cover to cover, no?
Should I?
Please don't read it while I'm in the room. It'll be embarrassing for both of us. Do you mind if I ask you something personal?
Of course.
What's happening with your friend?
My friend? He has a wife and two children and a granddaughter. His first marriage. I thought that just having him in my life was worth it, but I was wrong. I was wrong. He's gone now. I asked him to go. What you said to me hurt me. Because it was true. I was doing to those children. It was exactly what our parents did to us.
She sits close to him.
It's a pity we didn't meet before we were born.
She nestles against him, and he almost kisses her hair before turning away.
What your mother did to you was unthinkably cruel. Unforgivable.
He strokes her face.
No, you really, no, we can't. If you kiss me, I'll just drag you down. I do that to people. Once they kiss me, their lives change for the worse.
But she leans close.
You're so beautiful.
I'm not beautiful, I'm really old.
No, you're beautiful.
Their lips almost touch.
You've been warned.
I know.
Their tender kiss lingers. Then they embrace. Later, the room is empty, and so is Mathilde's armchair.
My name is Matthias Gold. When I used to have friends, they called me Jim, and I would answer. I grew up on Park Avenue in New York City. My parents were wealthy. I was born with a silver knife in my back. Anytime anyone follows their heart, someone else gets their heart broken. There's always detritus, always hurt, always pain. Love is a limited substance. When you give love to someone new, you have to take it away from someone old. My father took every ounce of love he had and dumped it in Paris. People like us think we've been cursed by God, but in fact, we've been cursed by our parents. You look in the mirror and you see an adult. You have to look more carefully. There's a big piece of you that never grew up. It may have grown tall, but not up. You spend your life waiting for your parents to come back and make it all right, but they don't come back. It's not all right. You have to somehow move past them. You have to somehow convince yourself that you don't need those people, because you don't.
In Matthias's room, Chloe clutches his notebook while she watches him sleep. Morning light.
Couldn't you sleep?
No.
Nor could I. I called to you in the night.
Why?
I wanted to talk to you.
Why?
Oh, I've lived too long, Chloe. I've only the dead to talk to. Everyone I've ever loved is gone.
How can you say that?
Oh, you know I didn't mean you.
I know that I spent my entire childhood in this house without love.
You had a loving mother and a loving father. How can you say that?
I know that watching Matthias sleeping, I could see his father's face, and part of me wanted him dead.
You can't mean that.
Why not? Why can't
I mean that? Why can't I mean that?
Because he's a person who is so sad.
Oh, so sad. And defeated. Like me.
I would never say that.
You'd never say that because you never see it. Oh, how could a child of yours be unhappy? Oh, that would be unthinkable.
You're not a child anymore.
I'm your child.
Years and years ago.
What does that mean?
It means that when you were 15, you stopped being my child and started being my daughter.
I have spent my whole life at your side. I have never left you.
I never asked for that. Okay, so it seems I've caused nothing but unhappiness in your life and in Matthias's life. I don't know, so what should I have done? Well, you know what I should not have done? I should not have followed my heart. I should not have stayed with your father and made a home for my daughter. All these things were wrong. I'm 92. I've made nothing but mistakes. So you tell me. You tell me, Chloe. What you know so much. You tell me what I should have done.
Chloe gulps.
Is Matthias's father my father? There's so much about him that's like me. Just tell me the truth. Is Matthias my brother?
I don't know. I have never known. What possible difference could it have made, knowing or not knowing? Your father brought you up. He loved you. You were his daughter.
Chloe stares accusingly, then walks out.
Oh, Chloe. Chloe.
Matthias, who was eavesdropping, sits on his bed, biting his fingernails agitatedly. On the floor below, Mathilde's making her slow and hobbling way to the staircase, which she starts to climb. Chloe's at the window of her room, staring out with a desolate expression. Her mother's inching up the staircase with difficulty. In his room, Matthias is pacing, but he stops and takes a rifle down from the rack on the wall, then rummages in the ammunition drawer for a cartridge, which he loads into the rifle. Mathilde reaches the top.
Chloe. Oh, Chloe, je t'en prie.
Maman, s'il te plaît, va-t'en.
Oh, Chloe.
You're the reason he hated me.
Matthias.
No, my father, your husband.
He didn't hate you. You were his daughter. He loved you.
There was no love, no love. Perhaps that's why Matthias and I detested each other, because somewhere deep inside we both knew the truth.
She sobs into her hands.
Why didn't you tell him the truth?
There was no other truth.
Do you know where I slept last night, Mother?
Well, I don't think the world would come to an end because of that. Yet I see nothing catastrophic in the two of you comforting each other. No virtue in two of you being lonely.
That's sweet. Insane, but sweet.
Well, you're certainly not going to have children at your age.
No. No, you're certainly right, Mother. I certainly can't have children at my age. Certainly stops with us.
Mathilde watches her daughter warily.
People like Matthias and me, we keep telling ourselves that none of this matters, that a childhood is just a human invention. It's not God's invention. There's nothing natural about it, and we should just let it all go, but we can't, because our pain tells us that we're cursed, and so we go through life thinking...
Oh, my God!
Oh.
Chloe runs down the smoky hall.
I shot the pig.
You shot the pig?
I shot the pig!
You shot the pig! He shot the pig!
Helping.
Any one of us had to go?
It was him or me.
Listen, last night, after we stayed awake together and our souls clapped their hands and sang, we made a clean breast of it. I was thinking about you saying, I'm not beautiful, I'm nearly old, and I wished I'd had a better answer. And I think I've thought of one, so would you mind saying it again?
What are you asking me?
What you said yesterday when you said, I'm not beautiful, I'm nearly old. Just could you say it again, please?
I'm not beautiful, I'm nearly old?
Perfect flower is nearly old. It's good, isn't it? No. You hate it? No. It's over the top, but I like it.
I like it too.
They almost kiss.
Oh, talk to me, Mrs. G.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Well, try saying, I'm sorry I lied.
Well, I am sorry I lied. And I forgive you for selling my chairs.
Please, Matthias, don't leave. Please stay.
I don't know.
Out on the sunny Rue du Parc Royal, Matthias is sitting back on the park bench where he went on his first day in Paris. He's still wearing the same clothes. Walking through the city, he returns to Dr. Horowitz's consulting rooms. His face is reflected in the shiny nameplate beside her door. Inside, she prints out some results with a smile.
Negative. Not family.
Not family?
Pas du tout. Not at all.
Beaming, Matthias nods, then kisses the doctor on both cheeks.
Merci beaucoup.
Matthias crosses a bridge over the Seine, then walks past the houseboats moored on the riverbank.
Hey, Monsieur Gould.
Lefebvre.
Would you like a glass of wine?
You live on this thing?
Yes, yes, I do.
So it's like an old barge?
Exactly.
Oh, the blood of Paris, I get it.
Right. Come, come, I'll show you. Oh, watch out.
Got it.
Yeah. Voilà, monsieur. Bienvenue à bord.
Merci.
That's my place.
Wow.
My yard, my garden. Come, I'll show you inside.
A book-lined interior.
Pretty cool. Really nice.
Yeah. Je l'aime beaucoup, beaucoup. I love it, yeah. I bought it as a viager many, many years ago.
Oh. And the person died?
6 days after we signed the contract.
Oh, you're kidding.
I was lucky.
It's a crazy system you've got here. I mean, betting like that on people dying.
It's a game of destiny. If the person dies quickly, it's your destiny to replace them.
And if they don't die quickly?
Then it's your destiny to pay, to help them live.
The opera singer is rehearsing on the riverbank again when Matthias walks by. He's about to climb the ramp to the street when he stops with an intrigued expression and leans on the stone balustrade to listen to the woman, who's facing the flowing river. She turns to smile at him, and he waves his hand with a graceful flourish as he sings. With a dreamy smile, he blows a kiss and strolls away up the ramp. Crossing Crossing another bridge in evening light, Matthias passes a loving couple gazing at Notre Dame Cathedral, then pauses briefly to look at the thousands of love locks affixed to the bridge. He hurries through the double doors at the apartment building and goes inside. Mathilde's resting in her armchair.
Is Chloe here?
Oh, no, she'll be here soon.
I'm going to stay. But don't tell Chloe. I want to tell her myself.
Oh, I'm so pleased. You need never worry about money. Yeah, I mean, you'll soon be able to sell this apartment as a viager. You won't get full value because, you know, you're both still quite young, but you'll always have a roof over your head. Oh, Matthias. This is yours. I gave it to your father, but he wanted you to have it.
His gold watch.
Thank you. Where are my father's ashes?
Matthias lets himself out into the sunny garden, where in a back corner of the lawn, beneath the shrubbery, he finds a plaque on a weathered old stone alcove. He places a white pebble from the ground on top of the alcove's arch.
You did a good thing sending me here, Max. Thank you.
The plaque reads, "If you do not love me, I shall not be loved."
On a scale of 1 to 100, you've just gone from a 1 to a 3.
As he stares at the quote from Samuel Beckett, Chloe comes into the garden and sees Matthias planting a kiss on the stone arch. Chloe and Matthias walk towards each other, smiling gently, and he cups her face in his hands for a moment, looking a little overcome. Then, holding hands, they walk together across the lawn. Gazing at her, he kisses her hand repeatedly, and she peers inquiringly up at him. They share a fervent kiss, then hold each other tightly, spinning around in the garden. Watching from the bay window of the gracious old apartment, Mathilde sips a glass of wine. On screen, in French, fin. Is practicing putting in his office.
Wow. I have the check.
We're not selling.
I'm sorry?
It's a family thing. You understand.
Thank you.
Where did you study English?
I never studied English. I learned it from watching American movies. Frankly, my dear, I don't give you a damn.
Oh, yeah, Clark Gable.
Right.
Yeah. I know that anyway.